senior Hamas official warns about the consequences of Israeli aggression towards Palestinians in occupied Jerusalem al-Quds. Russia's President Vladimir Putin says Moscow will firmly defend its national interests amid growing tensions with the West. Also ahead, the British Prime Minister calls a union summit with the leaders of Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland amid calls for another Scottish independence referendum. Welcome to World News. We're live from the Iranian capital, Tehran. Thank you very much for joining us. Our top story, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has warned against the dangerous consequences of Israeli atrocities against Palestinian people. The Hamas political bureau chief, Ismail Haniyeh, underlined that the situation in East Jerusalem al-Quds and at Al-Aqsa Mosque remain tense due to Israeli violence. In a letter to the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, Haniyeh called on the Muslim world to take a firm stance against Israeli crimes. He also called for Arab, Islamic, as well as international diplomacy to stop Israeli brutalities. The call comes amid Israeli crackdown on Palestinians in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. The regime is trying to evict dozens of Palestinian families there as part of its land grab policy. The number of people injured in Israeli attacks in Sheikh Jarrah has reportedly risen to 100. Meanwhile, Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip have vowed to adopt retaliatory measures against Israeli regime's latest atrocities in occupied Jerusalem al-Quds. Rubah Shabit has more from Gaza.
The Democratic Front for Liberation of Palestine held a press conference warning that Israeli regime will face retaliatory measures over its ongoing attacks in Jerusalem al-Quds. Palestinian resistance in the Gaza Strip marked Saturday as a day of popular rage along the border fence, where the resistance announced a return of military clashes with the Israeli army and firing incendiary balloons toward Israel in response to the crimes committed in Jerusalem al-Quds.
What is happening in Jerusalem al-Quds is systematic apartheid policy that aims to demolish the Palestinian cause. The recent eviction of Palestinians in Sheikh Jarrah is totally refused by Palestinians. So the resistance in Gaza announces the return of clashes on the borders and calls for a new uprising if these violations continue.
In a recent speech, resistance leaders warned that Israel should bear the responsibility over the recent attacks against Palestinian residents in occupied East Jerusalem al-Quds, saying the resistance is ready to defend Jerusalem with all means.
We hold the Israeli regime responsible for the consequences of the crimes in Jerusalem al-Quds. Palestinian resistance won't sit idle against the killing and eviction of Palestinians. Jerusalem is our red line. All Palestinian groups are united in responding to these crimes, and the response will be heavy.
Palestinians called on the international community and all Muslim nations to support Palestinians and do actions to stop the Israeli violations of Palestinians and the ongoing attacks of the holy places in Jerusalem. Palestinian worshippers clashed with the Israeli regime late Friday at Al-Aqsa Mosque in an escalation of weeks of violence in Jerusalem. Palestinian resistance here holds the Israeli regime responsible for the attacks against Palestinians in Jerusalem al-Quds, announcing they are ready to respond. Rubah Shabit, Gaza.
The Yemeni army says it has carried out yet another retaliatory drone strike against Saudi targets inside the kingdom's south. Army spokesman Yahya Sarir said the strike successfully targeted the King Khalid Air Base in the city of Khamis Mushayyad using Qasif K2 drones. The attack is in response to Saudi Arabia's years-long aggression against its southern neighbor. Riyadh and its allies launched a devastating war on Yemen in 2015 to reinstate a friendly regime there. Tens of thousands of people have been killed and millions displaced as a result of the war. But the Yemeni army and its allied Ansar Allah forces have stepped up their retaliatory attacks against the kingdom in recent months. The death toll from Saturday's multiple bomb explosions outside a girls' school in the Afghan capital Kabul has risen to over 50. Authorities say at least 150 people were also wounded in the blasts in an area largely populated by the Shia Hazara community. President Ashraf Ghani has blamed the attack on the Taliban, but the militant group denies any involvement. Families of the victims blame the government and the West for failing to put an end to violence. Hazaras have been targeted in the past by the Daesh terror group. The blast came a week after the U.S. started withdrawing its remaining troops from Afghanistan. Nearly two decades of the U.S. military presence has failed to ensure security there. Meanwhile, Iran has condemned the bloodshed, urging all Afghan groups to work together to establish peace and security. Our correspondent Amin Alami says the multiple blasts outside a school in Kabul on Saturday were just minutes apart.
The incident happened when a heavy car bomb blast went off in front of the entrance gate of Sayyid al-Shahada High School that is located in western part of Kabul. According to the local sources, just a few minutes after the first blast, that was a car bomb blast, two other explosions also happened there. They say that those explosions were IEDs that were planted by terrorist groups there. But Afghanistan's Interior Ministry confirms only one explosion at the in front of Sayyid al-Shahada High School in western Kabul, and have not commented regarding to the rest of other explosions that happened there in Dasht-e-Barchi. This area, I mean Dasht-e-Barchi in western Kabul, particularly educational centers in this area have been repeatedly came under attack by Daesh terrorist group. In the eyes of Daesh terrorists, Shia Hazara people are not Muslims, and they must be killed.
Tehran and the remaining parties to the Iran nuclear deal are meeting in Vienna for talks on a possible revival of the accord. Iran has asserted that it rejects any demands that would exceed those stipulated by the deal. The excessive demands of the U.S. may derail the talks from bearing any results altogether.
The remaining signatories to the 2015 Iran nuclear deal have been meeting in the Austrian capital, Vienna, in recent weeks to find a way to salvage the international accord. While few details about the talks have been revealed, Press TV has learned that the U.S. and the European signatories to the deal apparently want the destruction of Iran's new generation centrifuges in return for a temporary suspension of some of the sanctions related to the nuclear deal, officially titled the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA. This is while, under the JCPOA, Iran's advanced centrifuges, including IR-4, IR-6, and IR-9s, must be stored away under the supervision of the International Atomic Energy Agency and not destroyed. Press TV obtained information that shows Iran won't give in to the excessive demands of the Westerners, and also in case of insistence on the part of the other side, the possibility of the JCPOA and not just the negotiations in Vienna unraveling altogether will be real.
The Iranians have seen what the Americans and the Europeans have done. They've talked and talked and talked a lot about how they want the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action to succeed, and yet they've done everything in their power to ensure that it won't succeed. The Europeans refuse to permit to trade with Iran in any kind of barter arrangement, even with that INSTEX, that International Exchange Program. So they're simply kowtowing to the Americans, acting as their running dogs, and simply making a big production out of nothing. It's a simple matter to abolish the sanctions and rejoin the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. But of course they won't do that, and they want to blame the Iranians for their own failures.
The new demands, meant to impose new nuclear commitments on Iran, have been put forward while the U.S. has not even agreed to remove all the JCPOA-related sanctions, a condition set by Tehran for a possible U.S. return to the nuclear deal.
Elsewhere, Russian President Vladimir Putin says Moscow will firmly defend its national interests to ensure the safety of its people. Putin also said Russia consistently defends international law. The comments come amid growing tensions between Russia and the West over a host of issues, including Ukraine. The Russian president made the remarks during a parade marking the 76th anniversary of the victory over Nazi Germany in World War II. The event was attended by other high-ranking officials, including Prime Minister Mikhail Mishustin and Deputy Head of Russia's Security Council, Dmitry Medvedev. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has called a union summit with the leaders of Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland amid calls for another Scottish independence referendum. Johnson says the interests of people across the UK are best served through joint work. The offer comes after pro-independence parties won a majority in Scotland's parliamentary elections. Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon has vowed to press ahead with plans for a second independence referendum. Sturgeon has warned Johnson against blocking the push. A 2014 referendum saw the pro-independence camp losing with a narrow margin, but Brexit has gradually changed the public opinion in Scotland. Turning to some coronavirus news now, and beginning with India, which is spiraling deeper into COVID-19 crisis as deaths and infections have been hitting record peaks in the world's second most populous nation. Fresh figures indicate that the country's daily death toll has surged past 4,000 for the second consecutive day. The new fatalities have taken the overall tally to over 240,000. Infection cases have also risen by over 400,000 to above 22 million. The sweeping coronavirus wave has spilled over into neighboring countries, affecting Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Nepal. In Pakistan, people rushed to markets before a 9-day national lockdown. The government imposed the restrictions ahead of the Eid al-Fitr celebrations that mark the end of the fasting month of Ramadan. Meanwhile, Indian-controlled Kashmir is witnessing a surge in coronavirus cases as the region's healthcare system comes under increased pressure. Charity groups have come forward to lend a helping hand to the needy. Sayed Ali Savi has more in the following report.
As COVID-19 cases continue to surge in Indian-administered Kashmir, Mohammed Afaq Saeed has been swamped with distress calls from people looking for oxygen. Afaq leads the oxygen campaign of a Srinagar-based NGO. His small team of dedicated volunteers is working round the clock to help COVID patients gasping for breath. With the Himalayan region's healthcare system reeling under tremendous pressure, Good Samaritans and social organizations have come forward to extend helping hand to people in need. Athrod Kashmir, a prominent philanthropic organization based out of Kashmir's summer capital, has converted the region's Hajj House into a spacious 100-bed COVID center. The facility aims to cater to the rising number of COVID patients requiring hospitalization.
We have established this facility in collaboration with state administration. The facility has 28 beds with high-flow oxygen capacity and 72 beds with oxygen supply. We will add 100 more beds here with oxygen support system very soon.
As hospitals are scrambling to shore up oxygen supplies, the authorities have decided to install over 30 new oxygen generating plants in the region. Also, the government is constructing a 500-bedded COVID hospital in central Kashmir's Budgam district. Meanwhile, COVID cases continue to pile up in Kashmir, with almost 5,000 cases and 50-plus deaths being reported on a daily basis. Authorities have already extended the lockdown in the region.
As second wave of COVID-19 pandemic continues to take toll on healthcare system here, experts believe the worst is still ahead. Amid the unprecedented surge of the infections, Good Samaritans are lending a helping hand to the needy, even as fear and anxiety loom large. Sayed Ali Safit, Indian-administered Kashmir.
Turning elsewhere, thousands of Portuguese have rallied in the streets of the northwestern city of Porto to protest against unemployment, job insecurity and low wages. The demonstration came on the sidelines of the second day of the European Union summit hosted by the Portuguese city and amid Portugal's worsening unemployment rate. Around one in five workers in the country have been laid off since the pandemic began. Meanwhile, the EU summit planned to discuss social issues with a commitment to an inclusive recovery from the bloc's record recession triggered by the health crisis. Thousands of Colombians living in the Spanish capital Madrid have held a protest against Colombia's President Iván Duque and the police violence in the Latin American country. Demonstrators marched to the Spanish Foreign Ministry and chanted slogans against the Colombian government. They called for the resignation of Duque. Some of the Madrid residents also took part in Saturday's rally. Colombia was rocked last week by protests over a government plan to raise sales taxes. The proposal was cancelled after 5 days of deadly protests, but protesters are now demanding a basic income and the withdrawal of a long-debated health reform bill, which critics say is too vague to correct inequalities. Human Rights Watch says 36 people have been killed since protests began in Colombia. A major fuel pipeline in the United States has shut down its entire network to contain a cyber attack. The Colonial Pipeline says it has been targeted with a ransomware attack, a type of malware that locks down systems by encrypting their data and demands money for the key. The pipeline network distributes nearly half of the U.S. East Coast fuel supply. A prolonged shutdown is expected to push up the fuel costs ahead of the peak summer driving season. While the investigations are at the early stages, a cyber criminal group called DarkSide is said to be the prime suspect. The attack, one of the worst ever reported in the U.S., has raised questions about the security of the U.S. energy infrastructure. That brings an end to our bulletin for this hour, but don't go away.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of first grade. My dad, who is from India,
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, May 9th, 2021. I'm Atefa Irfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners of Listeners Special, this program is yours. It's your views that are actually important. So please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program, and it's such a beautiful Sunday. Oh, okay. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports, as you may know, are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. You know why? Because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service, to a high-quality service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us. My colleagues in IRIB English Radio are designing and preparing eQSL cards for you, and that's after a long pause because of the coronavirus pandemic. Well, as you may know, many of our listeners have kindly sent us reception reports. This time, we have listeners like Arthur Fernandez Lorella from Spain, who has sent us a reception report. Arthur is one of our regular listeners. And also Christian Ivanac from Italy has sent us a reception report. And Don Glucka from the U.S. Many thanks, Arthur, Christian, Don. We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And a zillion thanks to those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, we'll read their kind messages, including Anjum Hussein from Kashmir, who has sent us an email. Konstantin Provatorov from Ukraine, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. From Pakistan, we have an email from Malik Allah Bachaya. Thank you. Also from Hungary, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, Mato Holosi. And the last but not the least is an email from Don Glucka from the United States. Well, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with all these emails and letters from around the world. Please stay with us. Welcome back. Here we have an email, as I said, from Anjum Hussein from Kashmir. Anjum Hussein from Kashmir says, Salam Alaikum. I highly appreciate and admire the amazing work you are doing, the programs you produce and relay. What's the portal I can access your programs like Call of Islam, etc.? Please guide me to it. And Salam and warmest greetings to you, Anjum Hussein from Kashmir, and many thanks for sending us this email, and many thanks for your inspiring and really encouraging message. So it seems that you enjoyed IRIB English Radio programs. Many thanks for reflecting your view about IRIB English Radio broadcast, and you have a request. You want to know how you can access programs like Call of Islam, etc. So, here, I tell you that you can refer to our website for the archive of these programs, and also you can listen to IRIB English Radio online in our website with this address, www.parstoday.com/en. Anyway, many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. And Jom Hussein from Kashmir, write to us soon and tell us which programs you like the best. From Ukraine, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Konstantin Provotorov. Konstantin says, dear friends at Radio Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, or IRIB English Radio, I have had a great pleasure to log into your station, Radio IRIB, and sending you my reception report, trusting that you will be in a position to verify it. I was logged into your radio a few days ago from 1523 till 1618 UTC. The signal strength that I received was strong. Interference from other stations was nil, and hopefully the overall reception was good. Would you be kind enough to send me your QSL card? I have also enclosed an audio file recording to your broadcast. Thanks in advance for your reply. Yours sincerely, Konstantin Provotor from Ukraine. Salam and warmest greetings to you from Iran, from IRIB English Radio. And lots of gratitude to you for sending us this email. And let me tell you one thing. We received audio files, recording of you, of our broadcast, actually. And we're so happy that you was able to log into IRIB English Radio, as you mentioned, the time span. And we're so happy that the signal strength was strong and there was no interference from other stations. And the overall reception was good. Konstantin Provotor from Ukraine, why don't you tell us your views about our broadcast? Tell us in the upcoming emails. And also regarding your request about sending verification or QSL card, as I mentioned in the introduction of the program, my colleagues are, thank God, they are designing and preparing eQSL in the time of the pandemic for our dear listeners. Anyway, many thanks for writing to us. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon, Konstantin Provotor from Ukraine. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. So please don't leave us and be back. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Pakistan. This email is from Malik Allah Bachaya. Malik Allah Bachaya from Pakistan says, dear staff, I hope you will be fine, and I and my club friends are also fine. I am a radio listener of your service. I listen to your programs on internet. If possible, for your department, please send me club members a few promotional materials. We appreciate it in advance. I shall be waiting for your good response. Best wishes. And first of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Malik Allah Bachaya from Pakistan. And we appreciate you for sending us this email. We actually appreciate you and your club friends for sending us this email. You listen to IRIB English Radio on internet. That's great. That's the way some people prefer traditional ways of listening to radio. And some people like you, maybe if it's possible for you to listen to IRIB English Radio on internet. Of course, with this address, www.parstoday.com/en. And of course, we also in IRIB English Radio wish you and your club members all the best. And my colleagues in IRB English Radio are preparing e-QSLs for you and all listeners around the world. And of course, soon in the near future, we will send our dear listeners promotional items and souvenirs of IRB English Radio in the best time, if possible. Anyway, Malik Allah Bachaya from Pakistan, many thanks for sending us this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRB English Radio broadcast. And from Europe, from Hungary, we have an email from Mato Holosi, one of our regular listeners, who says, "Dear IRB, I'm writing to you in order to share my reception report from the city of Debrecen, or maybe Debrecen, Hungary. After several failed attempts to tune into your station because of bad propagation and high amounts of noises, I was finally able to hear this awaited station. If I might have a chance for a recommendation, please raise the volume, because unfortunately I hear other noises as well. In total, I'm delighted to have finally heard the sound of the Islamic Republic of Iran radio, IRIB English Radio. If you think that my report was helpful and correct, I would very much like a QSL card sent to my address. Warmest greetings to you, Mato Holosi from Hungary. And thank you very much for sending us this email and reflecting your views about the, as you may know, about the quality of the signal. We are so happy that you finally were able to hear, as you said, this awaited station, IRB English Radio. We are so happy that you finally received the signals of our radio. And of course, we will refer to our technicians and engineers about the trouble you had. As you said, we have to raise the volume. Of course, I will refer to my colleagues about this trouble. And anyway, we are also delighted, like you, to have you with us again, to have you joined with IRB English Radio. We will, of course, we have received your reception report, and of course, we will send you the verification and the EQSL, as my colleagues are preparing these EQSL cards for our dear listeners. Mato Holosi from Hungary, please be with us. Let this relationship continue. Send us emails and letters in the near future and tell us your views about our programs. Many thanks, Mato Holosi from Hungary. Dear listeners, what about a short break? This is Listeners Special, and I'm back with an email from Don Glocka from the U.S. Don says, "Dear IRB English Radio, greetings. I have sent you my latest reception report, hoping to receive a QSL card from you. I heard a report on India's critical problems with oxygen and other medical supply shortage needed to battle COVID from your field reporter in New Delhi. The news section was followed by classical violin music and then more news at 15:52 with feature on Biden policies, waiting for a reply from your side. Salam and greetings to you, Don Glocka from the U.S., and many thanks for sending us this email. As for your request about the verification, the good news is that, as I have mentioned several times, that my colleagues are preparing EQSL cards for our dear listeners who send us reception reports. And you have received the signals of IRB English Radio, including, as you said, a piece of news about the critical situation regarding the COVID-19 in India from our field reporter in New Delhi. Yes, that was right. This was a piece of news. And it seems that then it was followed by classical violin music, as you said. Anyway, many thanks for reflecting your views about a part of our program you listened. So in the near future, please tell us which programs you like the best. And write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. Don Glocka from the U.S. Well, wishing you all the best, especially the best wishes, especially the good health in the time of coronavirus pandemic. We wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Dear listeners of Listeners Special, please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio. Stay healthy and safe and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.passtoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/passtodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Proper Nutrition with Brother Sayyid Vahid Alavi in the program The Month of Allah.
Assalamu alaikum everyone, this is Sayyid Vahid and welcome to The Month of Allah. We talked about health issues, the causes, and how to prevent it or the treatments of those health issues. And we talked about the most common health issues or health problems that we can have during the month of Allah or for people who fast. Now I will continue with the same topic and we have at number 4, headache. The causes are you may have slept a very, very few hours the night before. You may have used or consumed caffeine or tobacco, and you may have done a lot of work during the day, and the treatments for that is that you should not drink that much caffeine or use tobacco or not do much at all during the day, if you can, if you are able, try to lighten your work burden. And if you want to drink tea, try to drink green tea without caffeine, and that's a very good alternative. Also, arrange your schedule during the holy month of Ramadan in order to have enough sleep and rest. Now, some people, they save their hours, their working hours, their free time, and their vacation specifically for the month of Ramadan. So they have their vacation during Ramadan, and whenever Ramadan comes in whichever period during the whole year, they save their vacation for that specific time instead of taking their vacation during summertime or during wintertime or Christmas or other days. Decreased blood glucose. Now the symptoms for that is weakness, dizziness, fatigue, you feel tired, you have decreased concentration, you have excessive sweating, and you have an inability to perform physical activity, and also headache. And the causes in non-diabetics is high levels of sugar, such as refined carbohydrates, especially during dawn, cause the body to produce plenty of insulin and cause a drop in your blood sugar. And the treatment for that is try to have your sahari, eat your food at dawn before starting your fast, and reduce your consumption of beverages and sugar-containing foods. Note that people with diabetes may need to reconstitute their medication during Ramadan and should consult their physician. And we have a number six, muscle contractions. And the causes for that may be low consumption of food containing calcium or magnesium. And the treatment for that is try to eat vegetables, fruits, milk, dairy products, and meat and dates. Note that people with high blood pressure who are being treated and those with kidney stones should consult their physician. That's all for this time. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of you. Ramadan Kareem. وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Nearly half of respondents in 53 countries surveyed are worried about U.S. foreign policy, and almost two-thirds say economic inequality threatens democracy, says Kenny Stencil writer in an article published under the heading, Among World Superpowers, U.S. poses biggest threat to democracy, global poll shows. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. much of the world hasn't been fooled by propaganda about U.S. exceptionalism and superiority, according to a new poll released recently. On the contrary, almost half of respondents from 53 countries are worried that Washington threatens their democracy, and nearly two-thirds think economic inequality poses the biggest risk to popular rule. Results of the Democracy Perception Index survey conducted between February 24th and April 14th by Latana in collaboration with the Alliance of Democracies Foundation are based on nationally representative interviews with more than 53,000 people. According to the survey, governments are not living up to the democratic expectations of their citizens. While a vast majority, that is about 81% of people, think that democracy is important, just over half, that is 53%, feel like their country is democratic, and this large gap is growing in countries worldwide. The countries with the largest perceived democratic deficit, or the difference between how important people say democracy is and how democratic they think their country is, are Poland, Nigeria, and Hungary. When asked if they think their government usually acts in the interest of most people in their country or of just a small group of people, 49% of respondents said their government mainly serves a minority, up from 43% last year. Relatedly, economic inequality is deemed the biggest threat to democracy by far, with 64% of people worldwide pointing to the growing gap between rich and poor as a trend that undermines political equality. Global concerns about foreign election interference and the influence of autocratic leaders, meanwhile, are lower. In addition to inequality, people are worried about limits on free speech, about 53%, unfair or fraudulent elections, about 49%, and the influence of Google, Amazon, Apple, and Facebook, about 48%. Fear of the power of big tech companies is particularly high in the U.S., about 62%, which also has the most critical view of the impact of social media platforms on democracy. Almost half, that is about 44% of people around the world, remain concerned that Washington poses a bigger threat to democracy in their country. The results will make you start reading for the G7 foreign ministers as they hold the final day of talks in London, in which they have collectively assumed a role as bulwarks of democratic values, determined to confront autocracy, The Guardian noted recently. The study's findings show neither the U.S. nor the G7 can simply assume the mantle of defenders of democracy. The findings will also make disturbing reading for the Eastern European democracies such as Hungary, where only 31% of voters think their country is democratic, on a par with findings in Nigeria and Poland. Anders Fogh Rasmussen, chair of the Alliance of Democracies Foundation, former NATO chief and Danish prime minister, said, "This poll shows that democracy is still alive in people's hearts and minds. We now need to come out of COVID-19 pandemic by delivering more democracy and freedom to people who want to see their countries become more democratic." Since last year, the perception of U.S. influence as a threat to democracy around the world has increased significantly, from a net opinion of 6 to a net opinion of 14. The countries is still overwhelmingly negative about U.S. influence are Russia and China, followed by European democracies. The study shows an attachment to democracy globally, with 81% of people around the world saying that it is important to have democracy in their country. Only a little more than half, that is about 53%, say their country is actually democratic today, even in democracies. The single biggest cited threat to democracy is economic inequality, that is about 64%. In almost every country surveyed, save Saudi Arabia and Egypt, limits to free speech are seen as less of a threat to democracy than inequality. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz for Indian subcontinent, and FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. These are the nights and these are the days, you know, where some people also, you know, our Sunni brothers, during these final 25th and the 27th night of Shah Ramadan, even according to our traditions, may also be one of the nights of Qadr. So we must also, you know, be precautious and you know, try and spend some time in worship in these nights as well. But also, we should understand that it is the coming to the end of this blessed month, and we should self-reflect. And this self-reflection should show us, you know, how much we were able to do in this blessed month. Take account of it and try and increase it and try and, you know, better ourselves until the next month of Ramadan. And one of those particular acts that we as individuals should truly try and increase in this month is the salah, is the prayer. And not the wajib, because the wajib is wajib. You have to do it. The compulsory ones, you have to. There's no doubt about it. You know, I remember one of my teachers once said that, you know, what reward should you get for doing something that is compulsory? If you are ordered to do something, there's no reward in it. You have to do it. But because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will reward you for it. Even though it is your duty to do it. Duties don't have rewards. They shouldn't, in reality. But rather, in this holy month of Ramadan, it is the nawafil. It is the mustahabbat. Those acts that come from, or where we rather seek the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take us closer to Allah. And they should increase. If we have a few nights left, let us try and at least do 2 rakat extra, 2 units of prayer extra. There's one that particular act that says, you know, you pray 2 rakats extra after the Isha prayer, and you read Surah Hamd, and you read 3 quls, and you end with a small dua. In the books of dua, this is written. Try and do that. If we didn't do it from the beginning, at least these last, you know, 3-4 days that we have, we are able to do so. And it is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, also says this. He says that the holy month of Ramadan is a month that is like no other month. No other month is equivalent to it. No other month matches up to it. No other month is like it. It is a month that has certain rights, and there are certain things that, you know, you're not allowed to do in it, because it has certain, you know, hurmah. It has certain honor and prestige. And the Imam says that as much as you can, you know, your ability in this month, read a lot of prayer. Do a lot of salah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if we did not do this in this month of Ramadan, hopefully during the year we're able to do it slowly, slowly, until the next month of Ramadan we are able to increase it more. And if possible, twofold as well. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no
The debate.